Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Episode 84, Night Living Dreads podcast here in the Insane Asylum. I'm Otis B. Dreads. I have Mrs. Dreads with me. How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
I'm okay.
All right. Well, I mean, don't hold back in your enthusiasm, by all means. We also have, you heard him last week. He wants to be known as the Jackal Monkey. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
Oh man, we're doing awesome. And we're gonna talk about some not so awesome things here in a little bit. But if you're kind of new to the podcast, you can go check out all of the past episodes over there at Night of the Living Dreads with no A .com. And you can also, a lot of people listen to podcasts now on like Spotify and Stitcher mm-hmm. and iHeart and all the iTunes or whatever, you know. Well, we are on Stitcher and Spotify, so, you know, we do have those two going for us, so check us out over there. And, of course, our Facebook group. We're at about 1,300 patients there in the Insane Asylum. We have a group and a page. Come check out both. A lot of really cool people over there. A lot of talented people over there. You are one of them there, Mr. Monkey. You do a lot of special effects and whatnot, which we talked about, you know, in a lot more detail last week. So if you missed that, that was kind of your inaugural episode, I guess you could say.
Well, thank you, kind sir.
Now I picture us all looking like the Monopoly Man.
My fucking bifocal monocle now.
Right.
Look like the peanut guy.
Oh, right. Mr. Peanut. Yeah, Mr. Peanut. But anyway, see, this is the kind of craziness that... you know, we tend to get into a little bit. And here, you know, often we like to, you know, start the podcast out by, you know, get us warmed up, you know, with just a how's your week been going, blah, blah, blah. Of course, you know, it was, you know, Thanksgiving just a few days ago. So I can pretty much guess that either there was a food fight because of family drama or everything went smooth and you had a great time. The food was awesome. So I think we can just flip a coin on what happened. But you kind of made a special little purchase here lately. Why don't you tell us about this? Because this is kind of a cool little story.
Yeah, it's been probably a couple of years now. My daughter's been asking for a taxidermy animal of sorts. Like, usually it was like a mouse or something like that. She's, can I get a taxidermy mouse? I'm like, no, I don't think so. Well, my wife had ended up winning a painting at a local oddity store here in Waco called Skellington Curiosities, and my wife went and picked it up, and then had my daughter with her, and then my daughter went in there and saw this taxidermy rat that had a cloak and a broadsword. It looked like something short, like kind of Game of Thrones.
Wait, was it like positioned, like in like a fighting stance or something, like
yeah,
Master
yeah,
Splinter
I'll,
from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Like I'll send you a picture to see if we can't put it on the. Put it on the group, or I'll put it on the group. I'll put it on the group's page
yes.
later. But she saw it in the glass case, and she's, oh, I want it. So they ended up having it on sale this past weekend with Black Friday.
Right.
So I ended up seeing that it was on sale. So I was like, okay, well, I got to get it for her. So went and picked that up.
She has a big surprise thing coming coming Christmas morning, huh?
Oh yeah! Oh that's yeah! Awesome. She has no idea that I picked it up, so she's gonna go ape shit whenever she sees it.
That's great! That's awesome, man! That's awesome. But you know, there's I don't even know how to bring this guy, this story in. I asked because you know it had been a while. Since, you know, I was back into the flow of doing the podcast on a regular basis. So I had asked some of our admins and moderators of our group page, you know, asked them for, you know, some suggestions. And I got a lot of really good ones. Mm-hmm. And this one kind of stuck out to me because of the count, the amount of people that he's either confessed in or just, you know, have been nailed to, you know, these are the ones that you did. And that number is in the triple digits, you know, upwards to 140 plus. This guy, Louis Alfredo Garavito, that was pretty good, right? I mean, I thought it was anyway. Anyway, what did you guys, before we get into this, because I came across this, I'm a sucker for lists. I love lists, especially when it comes to, like, you know, when you're doing a show or something, you need to fill up, you know, a little bit of time. Lists are always good things, you know, because they can always bring about some good talking points. And I found a list of 15 interesting facts about Garavito. You know, I got to say it like that every time. Every time I got to say it that way. Let's start with you, Jackal Monkey. What is your overall thoughts on Garavito?
It was just insane to me that he had killed over 140 people, and the fact that all of his victims were boys.
Yeah.
In the ages of 10 to 16.
Yeah, like, right about there, yeah.
Jeez. So you it takes somebody, it's brutal enough to fucking take someone's life anyway, but I mean, it's, yeah, with a child, and to just do some the defiling of things that he had done, like, oh
yeah, it's some of it I didn't even catch, and going back and kind of brushing up on the things that I had already, you know, knew about him, I came across some newer things, and one of the ones was that that you told me about, Mrs. Dredge, and that was the whole his mother. Well, what was it?
She was a prostitute.
She was a prostitute, and she would make him watch.
His dad would make.
Garavito.
Make him watch.
Right. His mom
have sex with her Johns.
Just
terrible.
Right. Just things like that, and then, you know,
he was a raging alcoholic.
Raging alcoholic. Yeah. He was very, you know, I mean, I guess just your stereotypical, I guess, upbringing of a future serial killer. Mom's a prostitute, turning tricks.
Right.
You know, dad's a raging, roaring alcoholic. You know, beats on his mom, beats on his kids. You know, and
perfect breeding ground for
exactly.
A killer.
Yeah, the perfect storm is culminating here, and
right.
So I mean, what was your thoughts, Jody? Pretty much the same as Jackal Monkey here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I think we're all probably in the same boat there. There's not really a whole lot that you can say other than, are you fucking serious? You know,
yeah,
I mean, and
just like wow,
right?
Wow.
Exactly. Here's some of the things that these are just you know, a little bit of some facts that you know, some are, well, I guess not like all brutal into the bloody details, but some, you know, just some things that, you know, you might need to know. He's better known as La Bestia, or The Beast, Garavito. You like that, Jody? Suave. He's one of the most ruthless serial killers of all times, mm-hmm. with 139 confirmed.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
They said they were trying to charge him with 178.
Yes.
But they were only to convict him of 138.
Exactly. And he confessed to 147, but there only 139 of them have been proven and confirmed.
Right.
He came about while he was in prison.
Yeah, they're still under investigation.
Yeah, because he was drawing maps to, you know, where a lot of these... Go ahead.
All the locations of the bodies and everything. And he even had dates, too, like, from when he killed each victim, too. Like, he knew, he remembered when he killed them. Like.
Yeah, because he had diaries that he kept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, jeez. Yeah.
So, yeah, which I guess, man, we've seen a lot of, you know, what was it, Henry Lucas? Who,
exactly what I was thinking.
He confessed to like 300. He just wanted to be the most prolific serial killer, but most of them were getting proven that he couldn't have been in that state because he was fucking locked up in this state, and, you know, and all kinds of things. So that kind of came across my mind when I was, you know, hearing this guy. But in the state, which we'll I'm sure soon talk about, I mean, all of these murders happen. In Colombia,
right,
which was not a very good fucking time in the, you know, early 90s, right, late 80s, early 90s, all the way through the 90s is when these murders were taking place. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't a good fucking place, you know, to be at all.
Massive poverty and everything else, too. I mean, that just adds to it. I mean, and that right there was, I mean, that was prime picking grounds for his victims.
That was easy targets.
Nobody's gonna miss a homeless person, you know. So
and most of the homeless population, they said at that time, were children. I mean, they were kids, which is a very sad, you know. They showed some, I guess, some stock footage in some of the documentaries I watched, and you know, would just show like one kid who looked, he was the leader of the little pack that was, you know, running across the street. Yeah. He's like 8 years old and the rest are like 5 and 6, and there might even be somebody running around with a fucking diaper on. But it was just heartbreaking to think that these little kids are just running around the street in fucking Colombia. Okay, whether it's just political turmoil, there's just violence running amok. I mean, the kids are just disappearing off the fucking street because they're homeless. No, mm-hmm. the parents haven't been able to fucking find, you know, little 4-year-old Guadalupe, you know, and fucking, I mean, that's harsh, but I mean, that's a hard situation to be in, I guess, if you're law enforcement or you're any kind of political office at that time, even like at a local level. That would just be hard. But apart from all the number two on this list, apart from all the proven and confessed numbers, it is believed that this man was responsible for more than 300 murders based on the maps he drew while he was in prison. So if you go along with that and say, yes, these are credible, this is true, he could be responsible for up to the 300, more than 300 murders. I don't think we've ever in history have ever heard of anybody. You had like Vlad the Impaler, but that, I mean, is that a serial killer or is that just, you know what I'm saying? Because he had people impaled, you know what I mean? Which means he wasn't out there fucking doing it all.
Right.
Yeah, and it was more, I mean, it was back then in war times and all but I mean, but still, I mean,
I think there's a distinct difference.
Still brutal ass way to go, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
So,
clearly a very distinct difference on this one.
So
he
said, whew, the local media. Local media being down there in Colombia, dubbed him the world's worst serial killer because of the sheer number of victims. And I think you could probably say, given the age and the type of person he went after as far as victims.
That's what makes him the worst to me, man.
Exactly. Like, I was just getting ready to say, because none of them, I can't remember which one of you two mentioned that none of them were girls. They were all boys. All boys.
Yeah, and they were all boys.
And then, as you mentioned, Jackal Monkey. It was, that's just so fun to say. They were right around, I think, like 8 to 16 years old. So,
yeah,
I mean,
like,
right.
Geez.
It's, wow. So anyway, and they were all boys, which actually helped the police in their investigations later on. Mm-hmm. He was, just dubbed the world's worst serial killer. He's also known by other names, which include the Tribbling, which is actually, they say, a rough translation to Disney's Goofy. Yes, that Goofy. Hey, Mickey. El Cura, and El Loco. I mean, who didn't see that coming, right?
Yeah, no, sure.
He was also known by the name Bonifacio Moreira Lizcano. That's pretty good, right? I told you, right? Caravito. All right. So, number five on the list is victims. As we mentioned, they were only boys between the age group, right around 8 to 16. Victims were usually street children, peasant children, which was, as we've mentioned again, That was just common, at that time. Unfortunately, most of their homeless population was young kids in mm-hmm. that same age group that, Garavito. Right, that he chose to target. It was a perfect storm, really. Yeah, this guy, raised the way he was, having to go through that fucking childhood in an area that has always pretty much been in, like, economic turmoil, political strife and turmoil and, revolution, all this. There hasn't been a whole lot of fucking downtime, for a country like Colombia, I guess, and at least in these parts where, they were from, but perfect storm right there. You guys got anything you want to add to that? All right.
Terrible.
All right. Number six Caravito used to gain the trust, and this is a little sick. Yeah, this is sick. He would gain the trust of the children. I guess mm-hmm. the older they were a little less trustworthy, worthy of Caravito. But he would often say that, he'd bribe them with gifts. He would say that, he was a priest or, he was somebody that could be, I guess, overwhelmingly trusted by little boys, the priest thing. Right?
I got a whole mess of popsicles down in my basement.
I'm your guy.
I can melt that one.
That's great. He said
yeah,
that.
And then he would like, if he thought that like the kids were like addicted to drugs, like yeah. he would give them like offer them drugs to like to lure them too. Like.
That's how he would have got me. I'd have been a fucking victim. It's a good thing I wasn't like 8 years old in Colombia at that time. You slide me a rail or something, man, I could be gone. Be out of there.
Like a vacuum cleaner. I'm on it.
I'm on it. So, all right. Yeah, but he'd get them hooked on the drugs. He'd get them all hammered. And when they either couldn't resist or they were just too tired, that's when he'd have his way with them. He'd rape them. He'd torture them. And a lot of times this went on for like hours. So you imagine, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, you know, little boy who is probably, you know, could be upwards to 2 to 3 hours before the boy, you know, dies. You know, he's having to go through all this torture, all this mutilation, the stabbings in the arms and the legs with sometimes a screwdriver, sometimes, you know, a knife.
A dull knife, like a not just a not a sharp knife, but a dull knife. Like, oh God!
Right? Yeah, one that looks like you know it's been like you know in a shed. You know, found it from like a Civil War or something.
Yeah, like a putty knife or something. You know, like.
So I mean, just really brutal. I mean, some of the things that you know he did to these, little boys were, and I don't. How do they even know some of these things? Because most,
like
well, like the whole, it was said that you know he on some of the young boys would take and cut off their little member there and stick it in their mouth.
Well, I'm pretty. He probably told like the investigators and stuff.
That would be the only way
was,
because all they found were bones, you know.
Yeah, right. Because he confessed and then started. Oh, I was possessed. I was possessed.
Yeah,
you know?
Possessed and drunk.
Yeah, he was possessed and drunk, running around drinking, possessed by the devil.
Not just any devil, but super devil.
Super devil. God. White devil.
But this one had some kind of bottle of tequila that would make him rape little boys and murder them.
Yeah. And act like a priest.
Or a farmer. There's a lot of
things.
Yeah. A farmer?
Yeah.
He'd act like a farmer?
Yeah,
is that a trustworthy occupation to
a
little Colombian kid? Well, I guess so, because there's a lot of farmers.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Tell him that he had work for him.
Like you were saying, like, you know, economic turmoil and whatnot, you know, he was, come over here and work in my sugarcane field. I got plenty of sugarcane that needs some tending to.
Why do you sound like you belong like working in the cotton fields in the fucking South, man? You sound like
I was trying to sound like Herbert the Pervert.
Oh, that's what I was getting ready to say. You did sound like.
Okay, I mean, I can see that now, but at first it was like, you look like you've been working out in the field so long. Come and have some of Mama's iced tea. Wow.
Yeah, man.
It took a weird time.
Yeah, offering them work and whatnot.
Right,
and then,
right.
Yeah, no. There's no work here. All the work down in California way.
California.
You got to go down California way and get some work.
Man. Yeah, I don't even know where to go from there. Okay, it said he would cut his victims' throats or stab them with screwdrivers or knives and then dismember their body. The investigation turned up several corpses that showed signs of prolonged torture. There's that 2 to 3 hours that these poor, you know, kids could have been. You know, dealing with.
It could have been days.
It could have been days, you know. It could have been like a Sylvia Likin kind of deal, you know. And that was what, like 28, 30, 40 days, some shit like that? Anyway.
Jeez.
Horrible, horrible shit. He was eventually captured in 99 on April 22nd and was sentenced to 30 years of prison. Now, here's where a lot of people...
Well,
here's where
technically,
a lot,
at first, he was sentenced to 1,854 years plus 9 days.
Plus 9 days. Because he may live.
Good God.
But I guess there was something in the penal code at that time.
Right.
I said penal. that would you know they had to, you know, they couldn't issue more time than what that code allowed and what that law allowed, right, is how I understand it. And 30 years, I've heard some say 30 years, I've even heard some say 40 years, but it's, we'll just say right around the 30, 40 year range was the highest,
right,
that the law would allow in Colombia. For it, and it didn't matter how brutal, how gruesome the crimes were against a child.
Right.
Now, that's not talking about an adult. Any, doesn't matter how brutal it was. That's all they could fucking give you. So that's all that he was. He was charged with 172 killings and was found guilty of 139 of them. The rest of them are still ongoing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But 30 years?
Then it got reduced down to 22.
Mind-boggling.
Right. Yeah, and then because you know, he was a model prisoner. Why, you know, he confessed. He showed him where some bodies were. So now he can get a reduction of 8 years, bringing his grand total of time served for the deaths of 139 confirmed, proven murders that he did. Mm-hmm. And now he's down to 22 fucking years.
Yep, ineligible for parole in 2023.
Yeah. 2023, just 2.5-3 years away. This fucking sick bastard could be walking around, and people say, well, at least thank God it's not here. Motherfuckers, I got news for you. I'm sure there's plenty of these galavitos running around the fucking U.S. They may not be as brutal, or at least if they are, it hasn't come to light yet. Because I'm sure at that time, while this was all going on, nobody thought that there was this kind of brutality was happening right under their noses.
Right.
You know,
I mean, because his neighbors and stuff said he was a friendly guy.
Sure, right.
Yeah, he seemed like a normal guy, kind of strange, but he just seemed like a regular guy.
Said he angered easily, but then he had a girlfriend, and his girlfriend's son, they got along great.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, this is just shit that's going on under the radar, and then next thing you know, when it all comes out and all comes to light, you're like, holy crap. Mr. Rogers, what happened?
What happened to you?
What's happened to you?
What did they do to you?
Oh, man. All right, number 9 on the list is Jay basically going through what we pretty much just talked about. As far as helping the investigators take and find some bodies, the victims, and reducing his sentence, his good behavior. May have actually earned him even an earlier release. But the very possibility of this happening sparked public criticism. I can't understand why. I mean, because... Wouldn't you think, he'd be a marked fucking man if he stepped out of prison?
No, you would think.
Homeland, you know. Oh, yeah. He pretty much would have to change his name and leave the fucking country.
Because some of those kids were reported as missing kids. Right. I mean, they had families and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
But get this. He was saying, too, that when he gets out, he wants to get into politics.
Oh, I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, and he was wanting to get this above everything else. He was wanting to help children who have been abused.
Yes, I did hear that too, and I thought, oh, the irony is killing me right now.
It's like, oh, jeez,
unreal. And here it is. Wait a minute, did I skip ahead here? Oh, here we go. Number 11 on the list. Just got a few more left to go. Colombians started feeling that the 22 years of imprisonment wasn't quite enough for Garavito's crimes. and that he should either get life imprisonment or the death penalty. And I couldn't agree more. Right. We would do that here. That's why we have, whether you're in favor of capital punishment or you're not. Regardless, there are some fucking people you probably don't ever want to, you know, walk out, and it's probably cheaper just to put them in, you know, in the fucking grave or a little bit early. But number 12 states, Colombian law does not have life imprisonment or the death penalty options, and the possibility of serial killings was completely ignored by Colombian law. However, with the increased public unrest, the law was revisited, and the maximum sentence for murder was increased to 60 years of imprisonment. So,
jeez.
Right. Let's see, 13 here on the list. Basically, going back to what you brought up there, Mrs. Dreads, about the actual, what his total sentence involved, and with all the confirmed murders, the total sentence for Garavito comes to 1,853 years and 9 days. That would be 139 multiplied by maximum sentence for murder allowed by Colombian law. And that's what his total would be. But because of the limitations, as we just mentioned, his total punishment stands to 60 years of imprisonment.
That's why he's only eligible for parole in 2023.
Right, he's only eligible, you know, right. So, it talks about number 14, just where he was born in Geneva, Colombia, in 1957, eldest of seven siblings. And then, as we talked about here, the last one here, talking about his father, so he used to beat him, sexually abused by two neighboring males, Garavito, studied in school only for 5 years, and at the age of 16, he left home, and started working, hit the streets. Every day he's hustling. where's that on my soundboard when I need it? he kept changing jobs and moving from one town to another, and started pretty much committing murders everywhere he went. He left his little trail. And because he frequently changed, you know, towns, his job, and even his appearance, especially his hairdo, made him very difficult for police to trace him throughout his little crime spree. So there's some 15 interesting little tidbits about our man Garavito. What else can you honestly, you know, say about this guy? I mean, there's so many just like, what the fuck moments in this story, all the way down to, I guess, criticizing how, you know, Colombia deals with people like this, and that right. you would actually give him a chance.
That would be...
Give him a chance to even get out on the street, to be within arm's length of another child for the rest of his life. You know, the fact that he still has a fucking chance to do this one more time, if at all, you know?
That's just mind-boggling to me. Like
that, yeah. That's even a possibility.
Yeah, I can't wrap my brain around that.
I can't either, honestly. So, I mean, but I guess you got pretty much third world country down there. You know,
the
poverty is through the fucking roof. I mean, when your homeless population, you know, pretty much, you know, consists of, you know, children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean that's pretty much all you need to say. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just ripe for the fucking picking, you know, because I'm sure there's a lot of abuse, a lot of neglect, a lot of bullshit going on and behind closed doors in a lot of these fucking houses at that time.
Oh, for sure.
There's probably like about 10 Garavitos already, you know, growing up now, you know what I mean? Dealing with the same type of shit because, you know, the stresses are the fucking same.
Right.
Nothing's really probably fucking changed. I don't know. I mean, I'm not all big into it like that, but
Yeah, like Einstein said, man, fucking repeating the insanity is repeating the same thing but expecting different results.
Right, yeah, exactly, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, they kind of changed, I mean, that's, otherwise they're just going to keep having murderers like him, I mean.
Exactly. And the thing is that, you know, they knew, I mean, the you know, law enforcement there for, you know, from what I've seen with this one, especially this one little documentary that I thought was done kind of well, and it kind of went into a little bit of the forensics and what was, you know, available to, you know, the Colombian authorities and whatnot. And they were pretty much, you know, just pulling certain things from, you know, our playbook, you know, the FBI's playbook on how to, you know, just certain things that we would do. They would take, okay, well, then we're going to start doing it like that too. And kind of building their own little, you know, CSI, FBI type thing, because they really didn't have, you know, the capabilities to do some of the shit that we were doing. And again, this is early 90s, so it's not like they could even do half the shit that we can do now, probably. So,
probably not.
And just it's pretty interesting to hear how they went from pretty much not knowing anyone to, you know, starting to narrow it down to, you know, certain people. And, you know, I mean, I think they had, like, at one point it was like 1,500 like child, you know, child abusers and pedophiles and shit, or cases of abuse or something that they started, you know, to work from.
That were people that they had looked at as suspects. Yeah.
It was just crazy how they could just start, you know, narrowing that down, because they could obviously take out all the ones who, you know, I guess, you know, had little girls as their victims. They could get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they knew that these were all boys, you know, and then there had to be something, you know, had to be some sort of, you know, I guess, profile to take from that, you know, like an FBI criminal profile or, you know, would take from that. So, I mean, what would you say there? A good jackal monkey. On a scale of, let's say, we'll just say like five skulls, like kind of how we do it with our movie reviews, you know. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 of course being, you know, the best, you know, or the worst in this case. How would you rate this motherfucker? And I can pretty much guess how this one's going to get.
Oh, yeah, he's a definite 5. I mean, I think he's listed as the worst in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was said that they can't, because of the sheer number of how many victims he had, and then the fact that they were girls. Go ahead, Ms. Dredge.
There's another killer in Colombia too, another serial killer. I can't remember what his name was, because he was the first one that they were thinking was doing the killings of these little boys.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name.
And he got put in the Guinness Book of World Records as being the worst serial killer. And then they had him come along. Death total-wise, he wiped him out.
Wow.
It wasn't Pedro Lopez, was it?
Yes. Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah, was it? Oh, well.
Bam, get you some of that.
Yep, as soon as you said the name, I just cannot remember the name.
I have heard of you know, another one. Maybe that was the same guy, the Pedro Lopez guy, but yeah, there was there's something definitely in the water down there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, something.
Yeah, you said it's poverty. That's what's in the water down.
Well, that's pretty much what it is. I mean,
it's just like the perfect breeding ground for, you know, with all those stressors. You know, it's the perfect breeding ground for a psychopath.
No, it really is. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't ask. You know, it kind of reminds me when you talk about like a perfect breeding ground. you know, and just almost like the perfect storm. It was kind of like, you know, H.H. Holmes, you know, where he had his little hotel right there in, was it Chicago, wasn't it? I think it was Chicago. Because they had the World Fair there, and people all over the United States would come there. And of course, this is, you know, back in the early 1900s, and you know, maybe late 1800s. You know, of course, there's no cell phones, there's no telephones. You know, you just go off to the World Fair, and who knows if you ever get heard from again. So it was like perfect for H.H. Holmes to take these people and torture them and put them, you know, and just do whatever he wanted with them, because nobody was going to come looking for him. You had hundreds of thousands of fucking people from everywhere,
right?
You know, flooding this one area in Chicago, I believe it was. So that's what that kind of reminded me of when, you know, I started diving into this. It was like, wow. I mean, I knew Columbia was never like really a hot spot for, you know, middle class. And I knew it was always kind of like, you know, downtrodden areas for the most part. But I mean, to hear, you know, about the homeless situation, and then, you know, I mean, just how easy just people could just come up missing just like that.
It's yeah, like just crazy. Disappear one day.
Right. Unbelievable. So, Jody, yo, you ready to get that vacation home in Colombia?
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
You'd be the first one on somebody's hit list.
Little beach house.
Well, if anybody offers you some work on a sugar cane field, don't take it.
I've already learned my lesson, buddy. I know about that. Right? That's a big no.
Don't take the drugs.
Now that's going to be a hard no to stand by. How about if I just leave the candy alone? If you offer me candy and tell me you're a priest, I know that's a definite no. But if you tell me you're a priest and you have drugs, that could be a pretty hard yes. I'll follow you because I think I can fucking take you. Oh my goodness! Yeah, what a. I don't know. See, I don't know if we ever do these stories and these articles, but you know, true crime, fucking serial killer, fucking podcast. I don't know if we ever do this story ever justice. Do you think we do?
I don't know why we don't.
Yeah, no, sometimes maybe. You know, I just have fun, you know, doing it.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
talking about it. It's horrible shit, you know. And I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, it's god awful. It's terrible.
I know. And you know,
you got to keep from crying, though. I mean, geez, please.
I know, because nobody wants to hear a grown man cry on a podcast.
Exactly.
Good Lord. That'd probably be, man. That'd probably get the most listens.
Probably.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I'm sure it was.
Really? You think you can fake cry for us coming up here soon? That don't sound like you're fucking crying. Yeah. I'm actually no. I thought this it actually went exactly how you know, we kind of do these serial killer podcasts. You know, we give out enough that maybe, yeah, if you're intrigued and you want to know more, yeah, dive into it.
Right.
Yeah. But we're not going to be the professor here. Yeah, we'll give you a little taste, a little teaser.
Give you a little taste.
Just a little taste. You know, speaking of taste, I don't usually go to these, you know, or at least to Taco Bell. I usually don't indulge in that. And I did have a little Taco Bell. And I'm actually kind of surprised that I made it through the podcast. I really am. really surprised. Oh, there it is. There it is. Good Lord. I knew I wasn't going to make it. I knew it. Oh, Lord.
Here comes the explosive diarrhea.
There we go. Oh.
Whoa. Are you done?
No, I'm actually having a lot of fun right now. No, actually, that was it. I was going to get me, I thought that the fact that I ate Taco Bell and I have a fart button on my soundboard
you
here.
You just had to do it.
I had to do it. Come on.
Yeah, you got to.
How do you put them two together and use it for, you know, comedic gold in a podcast?
Right. It's like giving a kid a lighter and a firecracker and telling him do not light this.
Right. Here's
it's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen at all. Oh my goodness. I give up. But yeah, you know what? I think it was a good podcast overall, man. Thank you, Jackal Monkey. Let's give it up for Jackal Monkey. Good job, Jackal Monkey.
Hell yeah! Thank you, kind sir.
Yeah. I mean, with a name like Jackal Monkey, you really gotta bring your A game. You can't come in all half assed with a bitchin' name like Jackal Monkey
and be all proper and shit.
And be all proper and shit. Nuh-uh. What's that proper?
The jackal that was raised by monkeys.
Man, right? Where was it? A monkey raised by jackals?
The world may never know.
The world may Jesus. Oh my goodness. Yeah, well, with that, I'm signaling the outro music. So this could get deep. We start trying to figure out which came first.
The jackal or the monkey. they probably both came at the same time.
I know, right? At the same time. That's why we have fucking jackal monkeys.
That's why we got jackal monkeys.
Alright, with that little nugget of fucking truth, thank you again, Jackal Monkey. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads. Hang on the line there, Jackal Monkey. We'll talk to you guys next week. About what? We don't know. We'll figure it out. Thank you. NightLivingDreads.com.
I lost my mommy. Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. Please come and play with me. I'm so lonely. Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.